hear his voice. I'm just curious, who was with us last Sunday? Just show of hands, who was with? Okay, first, I apologize. That was long. I know, like, especially this gathering, those of you who are the 11, just saw all sorts of crazy stuff happening during 11. But my goal, my heart, my desire for all of us during that gathering was that we would each hear something from God, right? And so let me ask you another question. How many of you last week, God said something to you, like he spoke something to you personally? Just show a hand so I can kind of see how that worked. Okay, those of you who didn't hear something, today I'm going to teach you how to hear something from God, okay? We're going to be talking about hearing God's voice. But just to catch us up, we're wrapping up this series that we have called Religious Reboot. And it's these two key words that we're talking about. Religion, I define as this way. Religion is you have to do this in order to earn that. That's religion, right? It's works. And you have to be good enough to earn heaven is kind of the image of religion. And with religion, the problem is we will never be good enough to get to God. He's holy, he's perfect, there's like he is righteous, he's all the things that we're not. And so for us in our unholiness, our unrighteousness, the sin that's in us can't exist in the same presence as his perfection, righteousness, and holiness. We just can't survive that. And so the religion, which was all about the law, didn't work. Last week I described what the law does when I was talking about like the government, and I was talking about somebody who has a heart that's wrong or like thinks wrong, has bad actions. And the question was, by the government making a law, has it ever actually changed a person? No. The law, as it does, is reveals what's wrong. That's it. The thing that changes a person is relationship, right? And that's what God did. He said, okay, here's the law, and yeah, I gave this for a reason, and they help you understand how to relate with each other, but I want your heart to be right. I want you to live into relationship, and that's why he sent Jesus, his son, to reboot religion, right? That's why it's called Religious Reboot, because a reboot means taking something that was old and making a completely new version of it. That's a reboot of that version. And so all the old religion, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, when Jesus came, he died on the cross, he paid for our sins once and for all, it is finished. And then he rose from the grave. That's what we celebrate on Easter. Amen. Isn't that awesome that we get to celebrate that? That he is alive, and so we can have new life in him, and he rebooted religion. He said, no longer is it a rule of law to earn your way to God. It's now relationship that Jesus made the way for us because God sent his son down the ladder from heaven to us to make the way for us to be with him. Jesus' sacrifice pays and covers our sin in eternity in the book of heaven. Our life is written and it says forgiven. Not because of our works, not because of what we've earned, not because we were good enough to get there, but because God loved us enough to send his son Jesus to die for us. That's a religious reboot, right? And so we're talking about that, but we're also talking about you personally. How can you have a religious reboot? Maybe there's some things in your life that need to be changed and ways that you think that isn't really how God operates, you know? And so we're trying to have our own personal religious reboots. And so we've talked about some things about, I talked about removing noise. Last week we celebrated communion, which is a celebration of the gospel. We talked about the story of the prodigal son, right, where the son ran away, took all the money from his dad's inheritance, and then he wasted it, wandered it, and had nothing, and came crawling back to his father. And we saw that the story wasn't about a prodigal son, it was about a prodigal God. In that imagery of the father, when the son came back, ran to him, hiked up his dress. No, it wasn't a dress. They were robes, all right? So he hiked up his robe and ran to his son and embraced him and hugged him and said, I love you, you're here, you're back, let's throw a party. That's excessive and lavish. That kind of grace and love, right? And we learn that is the character of God. He looks for lost people, and he loves lost people. And I was once lost. Now I'm found, and I got to be part of the party, and many of you in this room have experienced that. You've been invited into the family of God with this God who loves you, who accepts and invites you into relationship that changes things, right? We don't want to have a wrong view of God that leads to a wrong way to God. We want to have the right view of God so we can understand the right way through Christ to God, right? All right, is everybody with me? Yes. All right, so this morning I made a promise to the first gathering. We're gonna be here for about an hour, all right? This message is gonna be like, it's a lot of stuff in it, it's good, and it's gonna encourage and challenge you, which is what I've always tried to do, but we're gonna have some fun first, all right? Everybody like having fun? All right, if you don't, go to another church. This is what we're doing. We're going to do another live poll. So if you have your phone, all right, grab a phone, and this is, we're going to interact a little bit. We use this app, and so you can either text your answers. to these questions to that phone number, and it'll get up there, which is really cool. Or you can scan that QR code and go to the website, mynewhope.tv/poll. Join us here. Those of you online can join us as well and do this, okay? I'm about to make the poll active, so let me hit start with that. Maybe? Come on, you got this. This happened to me the first gathering. Refresh. Start. Okay, there you go. It should be live now, okay? The question on the poll should be live. And this is what I want you to do. We're talking about learning how to hear God's voice this morning, but I want to talk to just people's voices, all right? Name someone who has a memorable voice. Could be an actor, could be somebody famous, could be somebody you know, could be like, who are, let's throw some names up there. Man, Morgan Freeman is already really big. All right, same, this gathering is last, like all of a sudden Morgan Freeman. All right, who else we got? John Madden. Did one of my boys put John Madden? Have you heard the comedian? There's this comedian that does the impression of John Madden, and it's hilarious. Oh my gosh, the things that come out of his mouth. Ridiculous. Sam Elliott. Chris Farley. Oh, we're going like back in my day here, Saturday Night Live. Chris Farley, Harrison Ford. Okay, we got Harrison Ford. James Earl Jones. Kermit the Frog. Woo! We'll talk about him in a second. Denzel Washington. Paul Harvey. Kevin Hart. Taylor Swift. Oh, I guess singing-wise, I guess you could really pull her out. Elvis. Yes. My mom. Isn't it funny with family members? Like, how many... See, when I grew up, the mom had to yell out of the front porch to get the kids, right? I don't know if any of you youngins have no idea what that is. They just text you, get your butt in here, right? But like for us, we didn't have that. They yelled, and like you knew your mom's voice, and you knew the tone in which that voice was spoken. Can I get an amen, right? Like if it was like the full, first, middle, and last, I don't want to come in, right? Like something's bad, right? So yeah, family members, anybody else we got? Howard Cosell. Adam Sandler, yeah, William Shatner, that was a new one. Alvin and the Chipmunks. All right, so we've got a lot of cool things. So the big one is Morgan Freeman, which was the big one last, like his voice, you know, when you hear Morgan Freeman, it's just like, whoa, you know, you know who he is and that voice. I wanted to have some fun with this, and somebody put it down, because I can do some voices, let's have some fun, all right? So like, I'm glad Kermit the Frog, so I can do Kermit. Let's see, by a round of applause, if you think this sounds like Kermit, okay? So this is what I'm doing. Let's see. Kermit the Frog here, live from Sesame Street. Does that sound like Kermit? Is that pretty good? I always like dreamed of being a cartoon character. Mickey Mouse. We had fun. My wife Nikki and I last January before COVID kicked out. We were in Los Angeles and got to go to Disneyland, and we got to meet Mickey. That was the first time we actually got to meet Mickey, and like, shush, don't. It's a dream. It's awesome. All right, like, don't pop the bubble. It was really Mickey. Anyways, but it's fun, like, I talked to Mickey in Goofy's voice, so I went up, so Mickey, I can kind of do Mickey, so let me try. See if I can do it this gathering. Hey, Goofy, what are we going to do today? Is it kind of, all right. And it's like, gosh, I don't know. Like, that's pretty good. Is that Goofy? All right, okay. All right, we're having some fun. Who else do I have here? Elvis, so Elvis is on there. Thank you very much. You know, Elvis is in the building. Adam Sandler. You know when Adam Sandler sings a song because it's just ridiculous, right? So we have these names and these voices, and when we hear them, we know exactly who it is the moment we hear them, right? And some of you put some family members, you put mom down. Like for us, we have three boys, and it's interesting as they've gotten older. Like when they were younger and we were out and we had to call like our home phone, which nobody has home phones anymore, and they would pick it up. And it was hard because all of them had high-pitched, like, little boy voices. And then they got older, and as they got older, just one of us, our youngest, kind of had still that high-pitched voice. The other ones kind of got deeper and sound more manly. And so we'd always know, okay, this is, hey, Luke, what's going on? He answered. But now his voice changed. So now every time they pick up, it's like, hello? And I'm like, who is this man in my house? You know, like kind of a thing. And it's like, Nat? And he's like, no, this is Luke. And I'm like, dadgum, you know? All their voices sound the same now on the phone, and we have to really listen before we say who it is. But that can happen, you know, that voices start sounding the same. And I'm talking about, like, sometimes it's hard to differentiate between voices. It's easy to differentiate when you hear Morgan Freeman. I mean, like, no matter what, boom, you know it's him. But how do you do something like that with God's voice, right? How do you actually hear the voice of God where you absolutely know, yeah, that was God? And some of you think, well, isn't that Morgan Freeman? Like, isn't that when I hear like Morgan Freeman, but that's God's voice, right? Like, and no, just so you know, that's not how it works. That God is speaking, and he does speak to us personally. But how do you know? How do you hear? And how can you determine and have discernment that that is God's voice speaking to you? There's a passage. We're going to be in a lot of different passages this morning. My main one is James chapter 3. So if you want to pull out your Bibles, every week I say bring your Bibles. That's kind of the meat of where we're going to be this morning in the book of James, kind of near the end of your Bible, James chapter 3. But I want to read a passage first from John chapter 10, where Jesus is describing this kind of whole thing with hearing voices and hearing the right voice. And in this part of John chapter 10, Jesus is explaining something about sheep and shepherds, okay? And whenever you hear these illustrations, there's a lot of illustrations of a shepherd, talking about Jesus being the shepherd all throughout, you know, Scripture. And in this moment, he's trying to help describe how the sheep follow the shepherd. And I studied this a long time ago in one of the sermons that I did and learned a lot about how shepherding worked back in Jesus' time and what they would do and where they would take the sheep as shepherds, because it was a common job, you know, back then. Shepherds were just a part of the workforce. And what they would do, the shepherds, when it came to evening, would take all their sheep that they were out grazing, and they would take them into these pens, these sheep pens, and it would be like stacked rocks that kind of made a perimeter, kind of a fence thing, and then there'd be a gate opening, but there wouldn't be a physical gate on that opening, okay? And the thing that the shepherds would do is they would put them all in there, and then the shepherd would sleep at the gate. So where that opening was, that's where the shepherd would sleep, to protect and make sure none of the sheep go out, and they wouldn't jump over the shepherd to get out. They would just stay inside. So the shepherd became the gate for those sheep. And so this picture, when Jesus is talking about this in John chapter 10, this is the image that he's given us, okay, as he's teaching this whole idea. So this is what he says in John 10. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep," so like that picture I was telling you, if somebody jumps over and tries to get in there and they're not coming through the gate, but they climb up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. That's the only reason somebody would be climbing over the fence into that sheep pen, because they're trying to get some sheep and they're trying to steal, right? He's like, watch out. Be careful. Then he says this, "But the one who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep out by name and leads them out." This is so cool. We're talking about hearing God's voice, right? And Jesus is like, when the shepherd comes in, sheepy, 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 you know, and like calls all to the sheep, only his sheep come out of that pen. There might be a bunch of different sheep from different shepherds in there. And they come and they follow that one shepherd's voice, and they come out as he leads them and they follow him. When he puts all his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him. Why? Listen to this. Because they know his voice. That's why they follow him. See, with sheep, they grew up, they were born into the flock with this shepherd. So since they were born, they've only heard this shepherd's voice. And they learn to trust. You hear this phrase like sheep are dumb, right? Dumb sheep. They just go and follow whatever. And I want you to understand this, that like this whole imagery of Jesus being the shepherd and us being the sheep isn't Jesus calling us dumb, okay? Because what it actually is showing is we have a caring Jesus who loves his sheep, right? Who wants to lead them to safe places, who wants to lead them to better pastures, right? That's the whole imagery of a shepherd. And so we're not dumb sheep, okay? These sheep, real sheep, are, yeah, they're a little slow, okay? But here's the sharpest thing about them. They know their shepherd's voice. And so wherever that shepherd leads them, they're trusting. He's taken us to a better place, right? To better pastures. It says, however, a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will do the opposite. They will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So not only if a stranger comes and says, sheepy, 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 you know, not only will they not run to that person, they'll run away from because they say, you know, that there's danger. There's danger there for us. We're not going to go towards that person. Going back to the beginning of that passage, because they might be the one who's coming to steal them or kill or destroy. See, this imagery in this passage, Jesus is warning the people of two things, which is interesting in this story, because he's warning the people in this imagery that there will be other people in this world that try to come in and steal, kill, and destroy things in your life. And he was talking about the Pharisees. He was talking about the spiritual leaders of the day, saying they're the ones that are leading people astray, that are actually harming people because they're pulling them away from God, not towards him. And so he's warning them. Those are like people that jump over the fence. They haven't come in through the gate. They did not come in through Jesus. They have not entered into the heavenly places through the proper way, which Jesus is the only gate in which to be in God's presence. They tried to jump the fence and get in their own way and pull sheep out the way that they came in. Not only is he describing the Pharisees in that day, I believe he's also describing Satan himself. Comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his goal for you. Him and the demonic realm that exists in reality, that's his goal for you and your life. And so Jesus is saying, we need to learn how to discern our shepherd's voice over all these other voices we hear. Because if I ask you the question this morning, like, how many voices do you allow into your life? Like, how many things that you listen to? How much noise do you... Does anybody have a noisy life? Just show hands if you got some noise in your life, right? You allow things in that, like, create noise in your life. And it's like, how do we discern in the midst of all the noise that we live in? Because I think we live in the noisiest part of history in the world, honestly. The things we have, the access we have, the internet is the greatest communication shift in, you know, ever. And we have access to everything all the time, anywhere. We have all this noise. How much more important for us who are Christ followers do you think it is to learn to discern the voice of God in the midst of all that noise? Pretty important, don't you think? And so that's what I'm talking about this morning. So we're gonna go deep, and then we're gonna go practical. Okay, deep and practical. Okay. So here's what I want us to do as we're learning this. This is the thing. So write this down if you got your worship programs. You have your fill in the blanks and notes. You can write this down. I want us to learn the importance, the absolute importance for us to have wisdom and discernment. For us as Christ followers to learn to live with wisdom and discernment. My opinion, and you always know when I say it's my opinion, that's it. That's just it. My opinion is that these are the two greatest lacking qualities in America today. I think that we operate, even in Christendom, with a lot of foolishness and lack of discernment. And we can put ourselves, even as Christ followers, we can put ourselves in dangerous places, unintentionally, where the wrong shepherd has jumped over the fence, where we allow the wrong voices in to influence us, to make us think in ways that sound right, but when it comes to God and the kingdom of heaven, they're not right. They're actually leading us to the place of a trap of someone who wants to kill, steal, and destroy things in our life. And so we need to learn this morning, as we're talking about a religious reboot, for us personally, we need to religiously reboot the idea of discernment and wisdom in our own lives. So that we can get this right, okay? I want to read some Proverbs here real quick to help us see this tension, okay? This tension that exists between these two things. The book of Proverbs, great book. I mean, just it is full of wisdom. Solomon, the wisest man who had ever lived, that God imparted all of God's wisdom into Solomon. He wrote Proverbs, and like it's little snippets. It's like one verse at a time, just wisdom in it. It's one of those books where you can read one chapter a week or one chapter a day, for every day of the month, and you'll read the whole book every month and just keep going at it. Because every time you read it, a new wisdom will pop out like, I needed that today, okay? It's one of those books of the Bible. And in the book of Proverbs, you see the description of three different types of people, okay? So you see those who are wise, so those who are making wise choices, they're doing the right things. Then you see the simple, and then you see the fool, okay? Those are the three kind of distinct personalities that are talked about in the book of Proverbs. The wise are those who are making wise choices, they're doing the right thing, they're actually succeeding in life. The simple are those that just let life happen to them. They're not really proactive, but they're not like evil. They're just kind of like, well, just life happens, I just kind of go roll with it, Okay? That's kind of simple. And then the fool is the one that actually has evil intent in them. They're the ones that are trying to hurt people. They're the ones that are trying to steal and kill. Like, those are the bad people, right? So you have these three types of people. Which one should we want to be? All right. Good job. All right. Superstar sticker for everybody, right? Like, yes, we want to be the wise person, right? We want that in our life. And so let me read these proverbs real quick that describe the difference that helps us understand what this wisdom and discernment is. So Proverbs 15:14 says this, the discerning heart seeks knowledge, right? The discerning heart is like pursuing knowledge and growing, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. So somebody who's just like has evil intent or is really selfish or selfish ambition, all they're looking for is to feed their own foolishness. Like, give me more of what makes me feel like me, because that's the way I want to be, you know? That's a fool. I said something last gathering. I'm like, am I going to say the same thing second gathering? I think I am. So let's do it. All right, let's have some fun. Because I think this is America right here. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fool feeds on folly. This is what I would call the difference between understanding and personal bias. Okay? Understanding, when something doesn't make sense, says, help me understand more. It seeks knowledge. Help me understand the plight of that person that's sharing their perspective. Help me understand the story behind what's going on in that situation, right? Understanding. I want to seek knowledge. Bias, and a fool says, no, this is what I think of that story, and this is what I already think, and so I'm going to go get more people that think like me, and I'm going to grow in my bias. Do you see the difference between understanding and folly of foolishness? We live over here in America. We're being programmed to think this way in America. That's what all social media does. It gives you more of what you already like. And so we can go down these holes to where people are getting ridiculously, ridiculously mind controlled. Why do you think so many shootings are happening right now in America? Because people have dug so deep into their bias and conspiracy theories that they've gone to the pit of folly. And they were in a season of pandemic where they were already emotionally unhealthy, and now they've been separated and dug deeper into their bias. What do you think is going to happen next? Good things or bad things? Bad things. That's where we're at right now as a culture. Because we are programmed to bias. Not as a Christian, we're not called to go down that road. We're called to use discernment and wisdom and understanding. Help me understand what's going on with Black Lives Matter. Help me understand what's going on with Asian Americans who are being attacked instead of just being, oh, it's just a political thing and they're just doing this thing over here and you go down your bias. No, let me talk to somebody who's Black. Let me talk to somebody who's Asian. Let me have a conversation and dig deeper in understanding. Now, I'm not here to be political. You guys know that. But what I'm saying, we live in a political time, and in a world where Christ followers are using political and, they're using God, how do I say it? I'm pushing pause. Christian, Christian nationalism. They're using Christ at the center of America. And my God is not the God of America. My God is the God of the world. And I know I'm offending people, and I love you. You probably need offended. But if you're a fool, you're going to go, nope, nope, nope. And you're going to go right down to your hole. Here's my bias. If you're wise, you're going to say, help me understand that more, Tim. Right? Because we are being fed something that isn't in Scripture. And as Christians in our culture and in our country have denied the truth and are presenting something outside of the truth but calling it Christian. Watch out, America. I have a God who is the God of the world. He knows exactly what's going on with the child that we sponsor in the middle of depravity in the Dominican Republic, and he's the God of the Dominican. I know the church right now over in the Middle East, God is awakening Muslims giving them spiritual visions of Jesus that is radically changing their trajectory eternally and in their community. My God is the God of the Middle East. My God is the God of the world. And if we don't accept that, we are already buying into the lie that the enemy wants to divide, kill, steal, and destroy. We have choices in the matter. I didn't say any of this at the first gathering. Whoever needs to hear this, online or here, it's time for you to see who God really is. The discerning heart seeks knowledge. Help me understand. But the mouth of the fool feeds folly. Okay, let's read another one. Like, I don't know, Tim, if I can deal with another one. All right. The rich are wise in their own eyes, but one who is poor and discerning sees how deluded they are. Whoa. Again, I'm talking to Americans, right? The rich are wise. Those who are rich and have plenty and like live the life, like they think they are wise. They think they've figured it out. I have what I have. You guys are seeing what I got. Look at me. But even the one who is poor and has nothing or little, if they have discernment, can see how deluded that life actually is. It's watered down. It's looking for shiny thing after shiny thing, which leads to emptiness. You know how many millionaires commit suicide? Because it's not about money. Right? Like, so the rich can be foolish, and a poor person can be wise and discerning. What I love about this passage is wisdom has nothing to do with your socioeconomic position, has nothing to do with how much money you make or what job you have or what title this world gives you, like has nothing to do with any of that. God can give you wisdom no matter who you are. That's good news for all of us, isn't it? So we can seek wisdom no matter where we are in our life. Next one. There we go. Proverbs 17:24, a discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. This kind of goes back to the first one, right? Like, a discerning person keeps wisdom at the center. Like, okay, here's this noise, all these voices coming in my life, all this. The wise person says, but what is God saying? They keep discernment and wisdom right in the narrow view of their life. And that's what they pursue. The fool wanders the earth, looks for answers all over the earth. Like, who has the best answer that I agree with right now, right? That's the whole bias thing. Like, which one do I agree with? And that's my own personal truth. And so I'm going to live in my own personal truth. You do yours, that's fine. But usually it's not you do yours, it's fine. It's mine's right and yours wrong, even when they think, well, I'm open, except if you're that, right? So it's like, sorry, squirrel. So what do you do? What voices do you allow in? Are you allowing the voices of the earth to be the voices that just kind of speak into you and kind of shape you? Or do you have wisdom at the center? Do you have these blinders on of not ignorance, right? You know what's going on in the world, but you have blinders on in the sense that they don't impact the wisdom you're living into, okay? We're called as Christ followers to live in wisdom, but to love the world. Love people of the world. Not love the world as in like I want it, like love the people of the world. That's what we're called to do. And so we live in this tension between foolishness and folly and wisdom and discernment. And I think no matter where you come from, this is a wrestling point for all of us, okay? That's the tension that we talk about. And it goes even deeper. So this is where we're getting into our meat passage, okay? This is where we're kind of digging in right now into James chapter 3. Because this is Old Testament, New Testament. We see that James was teaching us and teaching the church. God's word gives us this picture of wisdom and understanding and what it looks like and what the earth, what the world, those that pursue that, what that looks like, okay? So if you're with me in James chapter 3, you can say, yep. All right. So this is what it says. It describes wisdom and foolishness. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Right at the beginning, we see this description, some descriptive words of what wisdom looks like, right? If you're wise and understanding, let them show how? By their good life. They're living a good life. The appearance on the outside is a good life. And then what? By good deeds, right? By deeds done. So they're living open-handed and serving. They're doing something with their life, right? They're blessing somebody. They're doing some good stuff in the community they live in, and they're doing it with what attitude? With humility. So wisdom comes with good deeds, good life, with a person that lives in humility. Because it's not about them. It's not about their story. It's not about, like, look at me, look at me, look at me. And talks about a different kind of wisdom now. It says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. So it's like, don't proclaim, I'm bitterly envious. You know, like, I've never heard anybody do that. And don't, like, just live in selfish ambition and don't deny it, but be real with who you are. Such quote-unquote wisdom. I love that. Wisdom. It says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but, and then he describes this kind of wisdom, is earthly. That's the wisdom we've been talking about. Like, all these voices, all the noise, all the things that come into our life, it's from this earth, right? It's unspiritual, meaning it's not connected to the kingdom of heaven. Like, God isn't giving that. It's not from him at all. And then it goes to the next level, and it says, demonic. Whoa, now I just got real serious. I can get, like, the earthly thing, and I can get, it's probably not from God, but demonic? Whoa. And it's not, you can see the language. It's not, it's earthly, or it might be unspiritual, or it might be demonic. It's like, no, it's all of these. The earth's wisdom, the world's wisdom that is poured out on us all the time has an agenda. And that agenda isn't to bring you peace. It's not to bring you humility. It's not to bring you good deeds. It's not to bring you what we're going to read in a minute, a description of wisdom. It's not designed that way. This earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom is there to kill, steal, and destroy. That's its end result. To kill your life, your relationships, your thought life, steal relationships, create brokenness and division. That's the goal of the enemy. And destroy that which God wants in your life. To just, nope, you can't have it. It's not yours. Right? We don't want this. None of us want this. Whether you're a Christian or not in this room, like, you don't want that life, right? But then he says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Just continue to go down to that train. Like, that wisdom, that's where it leads to. Self-focus, all right? But, whoo, thank goodness, good stuff. All right, here we go. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, God's giving it to us. It's what's happening in heaven. It's the culture of the kingdom of heaven. That wisdom, heaven is, first of all, it's pure. Then it's peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness, of rightness, of living in a right way when you live this way, right? You get to reap from a life lived in wisdom, okay? So what type of wisdom do you want? This one, right? Like this one. This is what we all want. If I said, do you want to live a pure life? Do you want some peace in your life? Do you want to learn how to be considerate, submissive, full of mercy, to produce good fruit, to not be partial to everybody and to be sincere? And that is the culture of the kingdom of heaven, and that is the wisdom that God can give us. Here's the good news. If you don't have that kind of wisdom now, ask for it. There's a promise in the New Testament where it says, if you lack wisdom, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask the Father who loves giving gifts, and he'll generously give you wisdom. Like, he'll give it to you. He's not up there saying, they're dumb, good luck with that. Right? He's up there saying, they're struggling. I'm waiting for them to ask, and I'll help them. I'll help them. And he reveals himself to give us wisdom in many ways. Okay? Now let's take a mid-course survey. Okay? This is mid-sermon. Let's take a break. I've just talked a lot and we dug deep into some things and Tim said some stuff. And all right, so let's do this. Everybody get your phone back out. All right? Everybody get your phone out. We're gonna take a time and we're gonna process some things together in real time. If I can get this to reboot. Come on. Reload. There we go. Okay, it's live now. Okay? So here's the question I want you to wrestle with. When you're thinking about this, is what I'm listening to pure, peaceful, considerate, submissive, merciful, impartial, sincere, and producing good things in my life? Are the voices and the noises that you have in your life, the things you're allowing to flood into your life, the things you actually interact with, whether it's online, social media, news, whatever it might be, relationships, friendships, conversations at the office or at school, like what is that look like? Is it producing these things in your life? That's the question to ask. So I almost didn't do it this way, but I did because I love you guys. All right, so yes is like yes, mostly, that's it. I put a sometimes. I almost didn't put sometimes because like I knew that's where everybody's going to mark. Well, sometimes, you know, but is it sometimes yes or sometimes no, right? Is it one way or the other? If I just put yes and no, that would make even think harder, shoot, right? And then I put no, and the last one was just for fun, whoever wants to have fun with me. I don't like polls. Like, stop asking me questions, Tim. Somebody marked it. It was like 10% last gathering. So let's keep filling that out. Keep submitting that is what I'm listening to. Self-assessment. All right, let's bounce around a little bit, but I think we're kind of there. I think everybody's... So 11% of you said yes. Yes, like mostly good. Like I'm allowing wisdom. I'm allowing those voices most all the time. 60%, which I figured would be sometimes. My question for you, is it sometimes more yes or sometimes more no? Which one's louder, right? Because sometimes could be like, it's mostly good, but yeah, every once in a while. Or it could be, no, it's mostly bad, but every now and then. So for you personally, think about that. 24% of you just said no. Most of the voices in my life are not producing those things. They're not wisdom, right? It's probably the world's wisdom. It's this earthly wisdom we're talking about. And thank you for the 3% that said, I don't like polls, Tim. All right, so you can go back to the last shot. This is what I want you to do before I get to some really practical stuff on how to hear God's voice. Those of you who marked yes, that most of the voices are good, or most of the voices produce this, awesome. Keep pressing on. Keep growing in those relationships and whatever you're doing to grow in that kind of wisdom, right? Those of you that marked no, like most of them are not that way, it may be time for you to prune some relationships or prune some content or prune some apps off your phone or prune some social media. You are probably in a position you need to start pruning and cutting some things out of your life. And I know that's where it gets hard. Well, what? What should I cut? Start with the loudest things first, okay? Start with those things that are constant. Because if you get rid of the constant thing that's always producing that in your life, that helps you. Now, some of you might be like, but I'm married to it. All right, so like, we're starting a family series next week. We'll dig more into that, all right? You can learn how to do that, okay. But I'm talking about the things that you can cut out, right? Like that you need to prune. And the majority of you that marked sometimes, it may be time to increase your discernment. Which ones are producing what, right? Discern, like, which one of those things are giving me godly wisdom and which ones are actually stealing, killing, and destroying some things in my life. And you know they're not from God. They're not from heaven, right? And start doing that. Start figuring that out. I want you to take some practical steps this morning, okay? Now, this last part, I've got 7 minutes, okay? I'm going to use my time well. You guys are going to write like crazy, okay? Because I have four points, and there's a scripture for each one, all right? So I'm going to go through the first three quickly. I'm going to spend a lot of time on the last one, okay? Because I want you to understand how God reveals himself. How does God speak? Like, how do we hear him, though, Tim? Like, I understand I should, and I'm trying to get discernment and wisdom, but then how do I know? How do I know it's him, okay? Well, these are some ways that God reveals himself to us. First one is a general one, which is he reveals himself to us in nature and through nature, okay? God is the creator of all things. He spoke it into existence. He created us and spoke us into life. He formed us, right, from the dust and the dirt, and boom, here we are. And so that, him as a creator, a creative God, he created all of nature. And there's this passage in Romans 1 where it's this kind of discussion about how will people who never hear about Jesus actually know about God? Like, what is that going to look like? And then we're giving this description of how God reveals himself in nature. It says, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. so that they are without excuse. It's this image that even God's creation itself is calling back out to him, right? It reveals God in creation. We see in creation beauty. We see order, right? We see love in creation. Like we see the character of God in creation. Do we have any people who love being outside? We got some outside folks like going on walks and hikes. And I mean, are those not some of the most spiritual moments where it's like you're away from everything and it's just like you and hearing trees? Or I think about at night, some of those summertime, pure, clear sky nights when you look up at stars and go, wow, God, I am small and you are big and yet you still love me, right? You can see the character of God in his creation, which can be powerful. And some of us, to start to hear God's voice, maybe we do just need to go on a walk in creation and just still ourselves, right? Just be quiet. So the first one that I put down, he reveals himself through nature. Number two, he reveals himself through his word, the scriptures, the Bible, what we have, right? That we read and we study. That's what we do here at New Hope. See, God has already spoken, and he is the author of all scripture. There are many writers throughout a history, but there's one author, God himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we have his word to us. I love it when people call the Bible God's love letter. It's like his love letter to us. It's him describing who he is, and the overarching story of the scriptures from the beginning to the end is this word redemption, right? He's redeeming. That's what's been stolen, broken, and lost because of sin and because of the enemy's work. That's the story of the whole Bible. And we see the story, it says this in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. How much of it? All of it. All of it is God's word, okay? And it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness so that, I love that there's a so that, the servant of God, you and me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has already spoken. We already have his voice. And we have access to it every single day. Multiple different ways we have access to his voice, right? And something about God's written word, what we have in scripture, God, when he speaks to us personally, will never counteract or contradict his written word or what he's already said. So we can use that in discerning God's voice. If I feel like I hear God telling me something over here and it's inside my spirit, if I'm taking it, the first filter is in his word. Does it line up with what he's already said? If it doesn't, it's probably a different wisdom. Not probably. It is a different wisdom, okay? And so filter number one that we use to discern God's voice as we're trying to hear him is his word. We look and see and we study. Is this in alignment with what he's already said? Because he will not contradict himself, all right? So number one is creation. He reveals himself through his word. Again, I said I'm going to do this quickly. All right, number three, he reveals himself and has already revealed himself through Jesus, through his son, right? The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that Jesus was the embodiment of God. It was God in flesh. And what he did, how he spoke, how he did miracles, how he lived, like he is our model of God. It says this in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times. So like that's what we read in the Old Testament. God picked somebody and said, you're going to be my voice. You're going to be my vocal piece here for the nation. So I'm telling you, now you go tell all them. That's how prophets worked in the Old Testament. Then Jesus came, right? The old covenant is gone. The new covenant enters in. That's the religious reboot that Christ brought for us. It says this, and many times in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Meaning he's already revealed his word in his overall word. Now he's revealed himself in his voice in his son, Jesus. What did Jesus say? How did he live? And how does that line up with what I feel like God's asking me to do, right? Walking in alignment with him. So through Jesus. Okay. I'm doing really good on time, guys. Through nature, through his word, through Jesus. Last one, okay? And this is, we're going to spend a little bit more time on this one. And the last way he reveals is through the Holy Spirit, okay? So you have the Trinity involved in this story. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit then takes that and works through people. He works through you and me together. This is the amazing thing that we've been given. When Jesus left, he told his disciples, don't worry, I'm asking my Father, he's sending you an helper, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to come in power, okay? And so that's what happened in Pentecost. We call it Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came down after Jesus ascended into heaven, and then boom, the disciples received the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit came in, and they started speaking in all these different languages and voices, and they went out into the streets. All these Jewish people from different nations started hearing the gospel in their own native language, and they said, "What is happening?" So the Holy Spirit is now imparted, and now the gospel's going out, and boom, that was the first preaching from Peter. The church was born. 3,000 people repented, believed Jesus is who he said he was, that he died and he rose again, and boom, the church started. Pretty big church to start, right? 3,000. And it just kept growing and growing and growing because now the Holy Spirit is present, and the Holy Spirit's working in all of those believers together and continues to do that work, spreading the gospel, not just with those that were large and in charge, the disciples, but now all of God's people are experiencing this together. That's what happened with the Holy Spirit. We have been given, as Christ followers, God's presence, his Holy Spirit, inside of us. This is mind-boggling. There's a scripture that talks about the same power that rose Christ from the dead is in you. That's crazy power, y'all. And he has entered in, the Holy Spirit has entered in, and now the Holy Spirit, capital S Spirit, is inside of us, connecting with God's kingdom. Our lowercase spirit with the Holy Spirit to his kingdom, and now reveals God to us and us to us so that we can discern what is God saying. We hear the small, still voice of God when the Holy Spirit starts working in us and we quiet ourselves enough to hear. There's this story in the Old Testament. Real quick, one of the prophets, Elijah, one of the power prophets in the Old Testament, was running away from this evil queen, okay? And this queen was trying to kill him, and he's running away. He's tired. He's exhausted. And boom. And then he gets, like, so tired, he crashes under a tree, and he's like, "Oh, man, I can't do this anymore. God, just take my life. I'm so tired." He falls asleep. God sends an angel to minister him, makes him bread. Angel bread must be really good, okay? Because then he gets up, and he runs, and God says, "Go meet me in the mountain." So Elijah goes to the mountain, and God says, "I'm going to come, and you're going to see me. You're going to experience my presence." And then all of a sudden, in the mountain, he's waiting for God to speak. And then it says there was an earthquake, and everything rumbled, and there was fire, and like went all over the place, and there was wind, and it rushed all over. But God was not in any of that. And when it was all done, God came in a small, still voice. He said, "Elijah, what are you doing?" See, we think God wants to sit up there and shout at us. And all he's doing is saying, "Get rid of your noise so I can just whisper to you." That's how close God wants to be. You know how close you got to be to whisper to somebody? Pretty darn close. It can be awkward at times. You're too close and your breath stinks, right? Like, I don't think God does not have bad breath, all right? So, but that's how close God wants to be. Thank you for joining me in the joke. It was fun. That's how close God wants to be. That he is so close when he whispers, we hear. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, God himself is whispering into our souls. How much noise are we allowing to drown it out? How much of the world's foolishness have we allowed in to distract us from the wisdom and the stillness of this holy God who loves us, right? That's the challenge, right? But it goes even to another level. So, like, let's say you feel and you sense as a Christ follower that God's telling you to do something, right? That there's this small, still voice and God's whispering, like, "I'm calling you to do this," or "I want you to do that." And you're like, how do I know? How do I discern that is really God? This is not me, or it's not the pizza I ate last night. Like, how do I know? Like, this is still the... And this is where the Holy Spirit works in an awesome way. Because the Holy Spirit works in us personally, but then he works in us in community, okay? The Holy Spirit is a communal part of the Trinity. In 1 Corinthians 12, it describes it this way. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, capital S, distributes them to all of us, right? There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So it's this picture in this passage that's talking about spiritual gifts. Holy Spirit gives each of us a different spiritual gift so that together we look like Jesus. Jesus had all the gifts, but not all of us have all of the gifts. We can't. At that point, we'd be Jesus. The Holy Spirit distributes different gifts to all of us because God wants us to be a body. He wants us to be in community, leaning on each other and using each other for discernment when we're hearing God's voice. Okay, I'll keep reading this real quick. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Do you hear that? God will not contradict himself. That sentence alone is powerful. God can't go against God. God never contradicts himself. And it is God the one that gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gifts us so that when we are all together, we are experiencing this common good. So, Tim, tell me what you're saying here. This is what I'm saying. When we feel like we're hearing the voice of God, we're learning to silence the things that we know aren't God. We're in his word and we're praying and we're in nature and being quiet and still and we're reading about Jesus and see how he lived. And then we feel like the Holy Spirit's saying something to us, go and do this or go live like this or get rid of this. Now we take that and we filter it back through whatever we feel like he's telling us. We filter it through his word. God can't contradict himself. So is what he's saying in the word? Yes, it is. Okay, now I'm going to go through Jesus. Is this the way Jesus lived? Yes, it is. Okay, and now I'm going to take the Holy Spirit and say, I feel like you're speaking to me. Now, give me discernment with other people. Let me go share this with a few trusted people in my life and ask them, this is what God's telling me and this is what I'm wrestling with. And now you're experiencing the Holy Spirit in community and you're looking for confirmation and affirmation. These are all powerful ways to hear the voice of God and discern which voice is it. Is everybody with me? Does that make sense? It's crucial that you're connected with other people in the process. Because, like I said, none of us have all the spiritual gifts. If there's somebody who has the spiritual gift of discernment, make them your friend. Right? And don't abuse them. Like, okay, I've got some. I'm calling you. You got discernment. Tell me. You know, you got discernment. Tell me. Like, don't do that. But you can have those people in your life who love you, who know you, who are praying for you, that you can say, is this what God is telling me to do? And listen for affirmation. And if a lot of people are saying, that sounds wrong, or I wouldn't do that, or if all of a sudden all these red flags start showing up, you should have a red flag for you as well, okay? If it's just one person, ask them what they ate for dinner last night, and then ask five other people, what do you think, you know? Is this God or not? Let's be a people, let's be Christ followers who learn to live with wisdom and discernment. Because I'm telling you, living a life that is pure, peaceful, considerate, submissive, merciful, impartial, sincere, producing good things, that's the kind of life that God dreams for you. God, thank you for this word this morning. It's an encouraging and challenging one. There was a lot in it, a lot for us to think on. But if we want to reboot our relationship with you, we need to learn how to hear you. And we need to prune some things from our life. So God, this morning, I pray by your Spirit that you will speak directly to each of us individually if there's things we need to change or grow in. I just have a few questions as we wrap up, just to help you think, okay? First question is this: what influences are in your life that need to be removed? What influences in your life that you know aren't giving you God's wisdom, but are putting false or earthly or worldly or producing distress, the things that aren't supposed to be there? What are they? And how can you remove those from your life this week? How discerning are you? Like, if you rated yourself 1 to 10, like one is just, I just let life happen to me, and 10, like, no, everything I discern. Like, where are you? How discerning of a person are you in the world we live in? And then my last question is this: what spiritual community are you connected to? What Christ followers do you have in your life? That's here at New Hope, we have small groups for a reason, and it's those small groups that you get together with each week that are praying for you, that you can wrestle with stuff with them and get discernment and let the Spirit work in all of you. Do you have a community like that? If not, we want to help you find that here. Because we all need that. We all need that. And for anybody in here who you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, I just need you to know that God is calling you. He's already done everything to show you love. He's already paid the full price. to make a way for you to be with him. He's the one that climbed down the ladder from heaven to send his son to die, to pay for your sin, so that if you accept him, so if you confess with your mouth and believe your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and he died and he rose, that you can be saved, that you confess that Jesus paid for your sin, and you confess that with your own mouth, your own heart, you can have that relationship with this God who wants to whisper in your life and invite you into a greater life and with him in eternity. If that's you, I'm going to pray in a moment, and you can just ask him to enter into your life, and you can have all these things I just have been talking about, okay? So let's pray together. I'm going to pray for those people first, and if you want to take that step here or online, you can pray this too. It's not a magical prayer. That's just not how it's your own confession, okay? But you can pray something like this. Let's all pray. You can say this. Say, God, I believe that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross to pay for my sins. It should have been me. And that he rose again, and that because he's alive, I can be alive forever with you. Please forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Make me clean. Give me your spirit. And I want to be yours now and forever. I give you my life. And so I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God